This podcast is brought to you by WCRFM in Wolverhampton.
It's the middle of February and the Real Bread campaign is having its Real Bread Week celebration. The international celebration of real bread and the people behind it. Lots of things happen, bakeries, baking schools, mills, schools, care homes. Everybody can join in if they want. You can join in at home as well. The aim is to encourage people to make their own bread, to buy good bread and generally avoid bread that's got lots of chemicals in it that are just designed to keep it cheap and on the shelf for a little bit longer. Now, the campaign defines real bread as being made with all natural ingredients and without the use of any processing aids, chemical leavening or other additives. You often see flour enhancers and various other things on some of the ingredients or various E-numbers. It might sound easy enough just to have it all natural, but unfortunately anything up to 95% of the loaves sold in Britain actually aren't that natural. Loaves, rolls, flatbreads, pizza bases, they can all be real bread if the baker decides to do so. And that's a bit I do find it quite interesting sometimes to go around and actually read the labels. Found one quite prominent bakery in a farm shop last year that was selling what they said was real sourdough. And then I looked at the list and there were just so many ingredients on there. And sourdough is pretty simple, really. It's all you need to have in sourdough is flour, salt, and water. I mean, you can put sort of a few little extra goodies in there, like maybe dates and walnut to make a date and walnut sourdough, or you could put in some cocoa to make a chocolate sourdough. But it's when you see flour enhancers or even yeast being added that you realise, well, this is not a genuine sourdough. This is somebody cashing in on making a loaf fast and then attaching the name sourdough to it because they can charge a bit more. And sourdoughs are usually a bit more expensive because they take so much time. I remember going into Baked in Tetnall locally and having a look at their sourdough, and they'd got it stacked up on a rack, being kept fairly cool, and it was actually going to stay there overnight, and then they would bake it early in the next morning. They do tend to get in about 4 o'clock in the morning, I think, last time I asked them. And they get it baked ready for you to go in and buy a nice, fresh, crusty sourdough. Easy enough to make bread at home yourself if you feel like it. I've got a recipe that is pretty straightforward. You can vary the recipe if you want to taste. So, for example, I tend to start with half a kilo, that's 500 grams of flour, strong bread flour. You can use plain flour. We used ordinary plain flour when the pandemic was here and you just couldn't get hold of bread flour because everybody was making their own. But 500 grams of strong bread flour, white if you want white loaf, wholemeal if you like, granary or any combination. I, for quite a long time, made half white, half wholemeal just for that kind of slightly lighter brown loaf. So you've got your 500 grams of flour, a sachet of yeast or 7 grams. I tend to use the Easy Bake yeast just because it's fast and, like it says, easy. You can, if you've really got no rush, you can put in half the yeast, to be honest. I mean, it just takes a lot longer to rise, but if you give bread longer to work, then it does tend to taste a bit better, a better structure as well. So as well as the 500 grams of flour and the 7 grams of yeast, you want about 5 grams of salt. Quite a lot of recipes do say 10 grams. I'm trying to cut back a bit on the salt, so I only put in 5, but you know, if you want a bit more flavour perhaps, then stick in up to 10 grams, but no more than that. And then finally, 300 grams of lukewarm water. You might get away with just a little bit more if it's wholemeal granary, because sometimes the grain or the fibre in the flour will absorb that little bit extra of water. And then knead it. If you've got a machine, got a mixer, then get that to knead it for about 3 or 4 minutes. If you're doing it by hand, it's going to take a bit longer. It could take anything between 6 and 10 minutes. I give my bread 2 rises, so let the first one just leave it in the bowl, let it rise for 90 minutes or so, but then you knock it back, which basically just means thump the living daylights out of it, shape it. I tend to fold it so that the fold goes kind of underneath the bottom of the loaf, and then put it in a loaf tin and leave it to rise until it's doubled. Now, this will depend on how warm the place is that you're letting your bread rise in. I remember being very disappointed. I made some bread once when we were staying with friends in Florida, and I thought, oh, it's warm out here, it's going to be really fast. I'll just put half the yeast in because it's going to rise really quickly. I forgot about that they got air conditioning, and so it was really slow. What I should have done is just sort of put it outside or in their porch or something. It would have been much faster. Anyway, make sure it doubles in size. If it doesn't increase in size very much and you cook it, it's just going to be really heavy, so it does need to rise. Whack it in the oven, pretty high oven, sort of 880, maybe 200 degrees Celsius for just over half an hour, 30 to 35 minutes. Then take it out, then put it on a wire rack to cool, and you've got yourself a lovely loaf of bread. So, support your bakers. Look for the bakers that are doing real bread. We've got Baked in Technol that I mentioned earlier. We've got the little bakery whose name I can't remember, next to Anna's coffee shop, just at the back of the market. Bake your own. You know, use a kit if you need. There are a lot of bread machines that aren't being used at the moment. People get them and then don't use them. Probably have the same thing happening with air fryers in a few years' time. But if you know somebody that's got a bread machine and they don't use it, ask for it. You know, it's easy enough. Just put it on. It'll taste fantastic. Much better than one of those sliced sad loaves that you see so many supermarkets selling. Real Bread campaign. If you search for Real Bread, you can find out all about them. A lot to learn about bread. There are some great bread recipe books out there. Paul Hollywood, of course, has got two or three. James Morton, who's one of the early bakers who did very well. You might remember him. He's the chap that had the nice Shetland Woolies. He's also got a very good baking book out. Yeah, hope you enjoy your bread. I've been making it for quite a while now. My good lady wife, when she was teaching, must have been about 15, 20 years ago now, she was going to make some bread with the kids. And she said, I'm going to see what happens if you miss an ingredient out. I can't decide whether to do this with the children or not. And so she left out each ingredient. So she's got flour, salt, water, and yeast, and made some, well, obviously not without flour, but made some without hardly any water, made some with no yeast, so that just sort of sits there doing very nothing, doing much. Well, I suppose you left it 3 or 4 days, it would probably rise eventually. And I said, well, aren't you going to make any proper bread? She said, no. Well, no, because the recipe will work, won't it? I said, well, you ought to try it. She said, no, I'm not going to. So I did. And I've been making it ever since. We haven't bought any bread for 15 years, probably. Make your own. It's nice. And don't forget, you can keep in touch with the World of Food and Drink. If you've got any local food heroes or in Wolverhampton or roundabouts, do let me know. david.king@wcrfm.com. We'd love to feature them in the show. And you yourself, if you're doing anything interesting in the world of food and drink, do get in touch. Taste Wolverhampton on WCRFM, Sunday mornings, 10 till 12.
For more information about WCR podcasts, go to wcrfm.com/podcasts.